It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 16th day of August 2023. I guess it's the demise of Elvis Day 2023. Yeah, let's see, it was 46 years ago. Yeah, ciphering. We know not to expect much of me when I'm ciphering, though. 46 years ago, when the king said,
I'm going to go off to the little king's room. It's the only place I can find any peace. I'll be back. Thank you very much.
And he didn't come back. I remember hearing about it all day long on the radio as we were on our way home from St. Louis, Missouri, back to Alabama. Dad had been visiting a Navy buddy. Well, actually, his best friend from his boyhood here. Not a Navy buddy. And when we passed through Memphis, people were already beginning to gather, to assemble. So that's the 16th of August, if I recall correctly. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the Great Globe Round. And whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you so very much for being part of this community. And please like and subscribe or be fond of or whatever, follow, whatever the platform describes it as, whatever platform you're using, this podcast, so you'll be notified of every new episode. And if you've got a minute or so, won't cost you anything, leave a comment on the program for the algorithms. That'd be wonderful. Damn it. I don't know what's going on here, but it appears the old gray iPad may be gone to its long home. It's locked up. I can't get it to get off the search screen, and I can't get it to power down. No, okay. Sorry, working. No? Hold on a sec. Well, I was asking the little Australian girl in my iPad to help me out, and she said, "You'll need to unlock your iPad first there, Shayla." Okay.
Sorry about that. Something went wrong. Well, this is going to be a real pain in the ass by Friday. Thank goodness it didn't happen yesterday. Anyway, if you pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and Anatole, and scarcely moderated at all by yours truly. Hey, gang. And yet the notifications keep showing up. I mean, what in the tarnation? Everything else was ready to go. We never had one of those moments where the iPad. But of course, why not? Why not need something, some new piece of technology? That's just effing great. Anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence, we say thank you to our 16th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you in particular to there we go. Thank you to Zed and Iowegia. Thank you to Reinhardt and the Virginia Coast. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Mark as well. Thank you all for helping keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. And thank you to our pal Jessica up in the greater Rochester, Minnesota co-prosperity sphere, metropolitan co-prosperity sphere, that is. Jessica sent a note. This goes back to yesterday, actually, and something Roger said in our conversation about the doings in Fulton County, Georgia. Roger said, "I wouldn't want to pay his legal bills," and Jessica, driving along there in the greater Rochester metropolitan co-prosperity sphere, said, "He probably won't either." So, yeah, that's a past due cowbell. But Jessica had a couple of observations. She said, one, two items for you, young lady. Oh, one, something I was just told by someone here at Mayo, a maggot, I'm assuming, that the Biden administration is going to give the government the power to confiscate people's food and give it to the less fortunate. I've done a quick bit of research, Jessica said, and haven't found anything, but I'm curious where this started from, unless this individual's just trying to start something. Well, it's all because Joe Biden's a communist. I'm sure it is a thing, Jessica. I'm sure it is. I don't know where it started, but I'm certain that it did. Yeah. Lord. So. Oof. Joe Biden's going to try to starve the Trumpers to death. He'll probably have Donald Trump put in the Tower of London and starve to death. Well, that'll take a while. Sorry. Not sorry. Jessica continued, though. A little historical moment. Two, I received word through my friends across the pond that a gentleman by the name of Harris Mann had passed away. Harris was an automotive engineer, and was employed by British Leyland, and was responsible for designing a particular wedge-shaped sports car that was the shape of things to come, the Triumph TR7, a car that is of particular significance to Robin and me. Robin fell in love with the car when she was younger and dreams of someday owning one, and I have Sadie, a 1975 TR7, one of the first ones assembled. She is my first car and symbolizes my dual victories of surviving my second bout with cancer and my vision being corrected to the point where I could really drive independently. So Harris has factored into our lives through our mutual love of a quirky British sports car. So here's $7 in memorial to Harris Mann and his contribution to automotive history. See, $7, TR7. Thank you, Jessica. Oh, I absolutely... Two cars back then. The TR7 and the Fiat X19. I thought the TR7 was by far the prettier automobile, but I knew a girl who had a Fiat X19, and it was cute, too. It's just that even then, you could never have gotten me into it. I don't even know if I could get into a TR7. I can't get into a Mazda Miata without having my knee, without resting my chin on my knees. Some things are best left for the dreaming. So where are we in terms of fundraising? Well, we are at $1,487. So not quite 5 days of broadcasting. That's all this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday. And there. Now we're working on Thursday. $293 of Thursday. We're getting there. We are, well, we'll just keep knocking it down. By the way, I paid part of the power bill today, so that means the lupine pest is briefly off the porch. Thanks for all your help yesterday in making that possible. And by the way, I just want to commend and congratulate the community congregation for the conversation yesterday. What I said yesterday absolutely was true. Namely, that I think we did as good or better analysis than the multimillionaires of the for-profit media. Which is really quite a compliment, considering we don't have any multimillionaires in the folks gathered around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree that we can't even own ourselves and have to sublet from the Keebler Elves. Oh, and program note. I have an appointment tomorrow afternoon, and it is a bit of ways away. I may not be back in time for the program for Thorn in the Side Thursday. I apologize profusely, but sometimes things are better done in person than via telemedicine. It's just more effective. So that'll be a bit of a drive if I'm not back here. That's exactly why. So, you know, please make a note of it or something like that. So we now know, as we get into the, I mean, this is prayer meeting Wednesday, but we got some non-prayer meeting things to do. I swear this iPad is driving me bananas. Why will it not unlock? Oh, what a bunch of... Don't want to have to get a new one. We've been making, even on the dead battery, we've been making it run reasonably well. But we know now when... here, let me get... Bonnie Willis, Fulton County DA, has officially proposed a starting date for the trial of the RICO trial, the fraud trial of Nitwit Nero. Per a scheduling order that was filed with the court today, She says she wants to start the trial on March the 4th, which it turns out is one day before Super Tuesday. And there is some conflict with other trial dates because, well, he's going to be tried four times on a total of 91 felony counts. That's 91 more felony charges than all the other presidents of the United States combined, even Nixon. The Stormy Daniels payoff case is due to start on March the 25th. Bonnie Willis is also suggesting that the arraignment itself take place on during the week of September 5th. That everybody has until the 25th of August to, in her words, turn themselves in. It's beginning to look more and more like Nitwit Nero is not going to be able to evade having his fingerprints taken. And honestly, whatever humiliations he can be put through, I'm for. Because I'm just a bitch that way. The filing by D.A. Willis said, in light of the defendant Donald John Trump's other criminal and civil matters pending in the courts of our sister sovereigns, the state of Georgia proposes certain deadlines that do not conflict with these other courts' already scheduled hearings and trial dates. Oh, let's see how people respond to the poll on this one. Do you think Trump will be found guilty? Ah, 54% on a story from ABC News. 54% of respondents said definitely will be. 17% said probably will be. So that's positive answers from 71%. 12% probably will not be. 17% definitely will not be. He's an innocent man. And he's smarter than all them eggheads. He ain't gonna get tried. And his desperate grasping at straws grows ever more pathetic. Now, the new theory. Remember when the D.C. indictment came out, they trotted out a new defense of,
but my freedom of speech is being compromised. I was just exercising my freedom of speech.
Well, now, according with Mark Meadows filing to move the case to federal court, he's claiming the right to do that based on the fact that he was an employee of the United States government at the time that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. And that because, according to Mark Meadows, by the way, Christian minister, this being prayer meeting on Wednesday and all, Mark Meadows, Christian minister, says that part of his job description was trying to overturn the 2020 election, and he should get to be tried in federal court as a result. And now the latest desperate attempt to evade responsibility on the criminal liability on the part of Julius Geezer over on his rattletrap social media site, Tripe Social, he said,
big news, Mike Pence said, I met with the parliamentarian of the Senate, Elizabeth McDonough, to discuss the procedures for the upcoming joint session on January 6th. She told me that Congress always receives miscellaneous slates of electors every 4 years. Greg Kelly, that's huge. A game changer in terms of information. It really turns upside down everything the Democrats said about January 6th and this latest federal indictment. Drop the fake case.
It's not going anywhere. and he hopefully will be going somewhere. And remember, he lost over 60 cases trying to overturn the results of the election legally. And he lost them all. And now it turns out that, how about that? Nitwit Nero didn't pay the people who tried to overturn, the lawyers who tried to overturn the election for him. Let's check in on the audio with this.
Several of the attorneys who represented Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election were never paid for their work.
What?
They don't pay anybody.
I mean,
seriously, did they not know this?
Isn't she adorable?
They're just so excited to be with him.
Are they now going, oh my God, he doesn't pay? You mean the great pumpkin doesn't rise from the pumpkin patch?
It doesn't.
Every Halloween evening to
that
give...
That big orange pumpkin.
Candy to good
okay,
boys
so
and girls?
This latest news is according to testimony from congressional investigators and Federal Election Commission records. Not only were they not compensated...
Wait, but he stole $250 million from his supporters.
You're so dumb.
And he lied to supporters that this was to stop the steal. He raised $250 million and he did not pay them?
Not only were they not compensated, I feel like we can make fun of this a little bit. You know, I don't like it when Donald Trump has taken advantage of people.
Well, it's like the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker thing I always said about my grandma.
Yeah. There are innocents in this. These are not one of them. These lawyers.
These lawyers, no.
Anyhow, not only were they not compensated, their lawsuits and false claims helped the Trump campaign and allies raise $250 million. As CNBC reports, among those who were stiffed, Trump's closest ally, Rudy Giuliani. The records show that Giuliani's companies were only reimbursed for travel and not the $20,000 a day he requested to be paid. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, but I've got to say...
$20,000 a day?
I've got to say, Giuliani may not have gotten paid for his work with Donald Trump after the election, but he did get indicted. So there's that. Six of one, half dozen of the other. But David French, I always talk about the, you know, how my grandmom would send her Social Security checks, sadly, even though my parents tried to intervene. To Jim and Tammy Faye Baker while they were building their massive multi-million dollar scam operation out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And here, I mean, we've seen Steve Bannon sent to jail, or at least arrested for his phony scheme to raise, I don't know, $10 million or whatever to build the wall. I find it hard to believe that Jack Smith doesn't come back later with a superseding indictment that doesn't go after this $250 million that Donald Trump fraudulently raised, claiming the election was rigged.
Who's to say Jack Smith won't? I mean, the whole damn thing's a giant fraud. There's enough to keep Donald Trump busy in court for the remainder of his unnatural days.
When he knew it wasn't rigged. I mean, that would have been the first crime I would have brought as a prosecutor because it would have been the easiest to prove.
Well, believe it or not, it's probably going to be easier to prove the crimes that Smith has already charged than that one. I mean, there's going to be a lot of latitude when you're raising money for a campaign, for a cause. You've got a lot of latitude in how you spend those dollars. And so it's actually going to be easier to do what Jack Smith did in the absence of smoking guns regarding fraudulent intent, for example, say in the fundraising. It's going to be a lot easier to do what Smith did. He did that sort of, instead of the shotgun blast indictment, he did much more of the rifle shot indictment. narrowly focused on the specific claims related to the effort to overturn the election. I think he wants to get to trial on this matter as soon as he possibly can. And the more he lards up his indictment of Trump, the slower that case is going to proceed. So I might be a little, you know, could be wrong, but I might be a little bit surprised if he throws anything else, you know, into the stew in this court, in this case in D.C.
Not half bad analysis, but oh my goodness gracious. Mika has been over there at my filthy morning habit. Mika's been on the top of her game for a while. You're so dumb. So we can talk about that later on, some more, if you want to call in about it. And out to Maui, where, as I said the other day, it's looking more and more like one of the primary culprits in that horrifying conflagration is, of course, the electric power company. Lawsuit filed today alleging negligence and perhaps even gross negligence against the largest power utility in Hawaii, Hawaiian Electric. Michael Watts, a lead lawyer on the case for the plaintiff, said Hawaiian Electric is not just responsible and they weren't just negligent. There we are. They were grossly negligent by making conscious decisions to delay grid modernization projects that would have prevented this very tragedy. And so that brings to four the number of lawsuits against the power company. In particular, this latest one alleges that the Hawaiian Electric wasted years of just sitting on their hands and collecting bills without putting it back into their infrastructure. I bet they put it back into their investors, though, don't you? And the plaintiffs have also said they should have had a plan in place to shut down the grid before the hurricane winds blew across the island. Naturally, Hawaiian Electric was as silent as a graven image. He said they were too busy dedicatedly trying to return electricity to the island to talk about any potential gross, willful, wanton, negligent conduct. Darren Pye said, cause of the fire has not been determined, and we'll work with the state and county as they conduct their review, and we're innocent, and please leave us alone. Lawyer Watts said hundreds of people have approached his firm about joining in the case, and he wants to make sure that this never, ever happens again. I suppose the litigation is sort of based off of lawsuits filed in California, where those lawsuits have actually resulted in the grid being improved and steps taken to reduce the likelihood that the power grid can contribute to further fire activity. Importantly, the lawsuit alleges that Hawaiian Electric knew exactly what was going on in California. And apparently the lawyers came with receipts. There are numerous events cited where Hawaiian Electric and folks like, I don't know, maybe the Public Service Commission noted that there was profound danger of wildfires and that downed power lines could start them where vegetation growth had gone unchecked. Lawyer Watts said their own papers say they knew how to prevent it, and their own papers showed their conscious and deliberate decision to delay the implementation of safety measures that would have prevented this tragedy, the most deadly wildfire in American history. And, of course, there are always going to be... Look, power companies are power companies, and power companies do what power companies do. A year ago, Hawaiian Electric went to the Hawaii Public Utilities Commission and asked for $189.7 million to come out of ratepayers' pockets, of course, so that they could harden the power grid statewide. And in that document, they confess that the risk of its system causing a wildfire ignition is significant. Going on to say that we want to make sure that we're not the origin or a contributing source of ignition for a wildfire. And the Public Utilities Commission said, well, you know, that's a good point. Here's $189.7 million out of the pockets of your ratepayers. And having gotten the approval, Hawaiian Electric did, and this is a complicated legal term, precisely dick. Lawyer Watts said the wildfire was not only predictable, it was predicted, both by Hawaiian Electric and anyone else that bothered to look into the issue. And the horror of it all is that there are something around 100, and the number continues to rise, even though I think only five individuals have been positively identified. The people who helped pay for that $189.7 million, some of them, are dead. They killed their own customers. Now, in a desperate effort to create some level of excusable, what is excusable neglect, Mr. Pye said short-notice power shutoffs have to be coordinated with first responders because, well, they needed electricity in Lahaina to power the pumps that they use for firefighting. Electricity shutoffs can pose risks to people. Well, it's worth noting that even in places where this has been used, it is controversial and it's not universally accepted. That was Shili Kimura, President and CEO of Hawaiian Electric. It can be seen as being a hardship for those customers that have medical needs. Well, they don't have any more medical needs once they're dead, CEO. They didn't, Hawaiian Electric didn't upgrade their power poles. They didn't engage in other fire prevention measures. But I bet the shareholders got a tasty little dividend. Back in a press release in July 2022, Colton Ching, Senior Vice President of Planning and Technology for Hawaiian Electric, said, while there is a cost of preparing for more adverse effects of climate change, the cost of inaction is much higher. Well, no pun intended. I'll bet that statement turned to ash in his mouth. More detail in the suit suggests that Hawaiian Electric spent exactly $0 on power pole upgrades or wildfire prevention in either 2021, 2022, or 2023. They didn't spend anything on hazardous tree removals in 2021 or 2022. And all along the way, the ill-maintained, outdated power poles and transmission lines, they were noted, and Hawaiian Electric ignored them. you know, we lose electricity fairly frequently here. You know, at the first peal of thunder, the Appalachian power grid runs under the bed and quivers like a chihuahua trying to pass a peach pit. But the thing is, for a lot of this country, it's the same. We have profound infrastructure issues. And by the way, on the anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, there are literally billions of dollars for American citizens out there, courtesy of the Biden administration. Although I'm sure Mitch McConnell will take credit for it, and God alone knows Joe Manchin will, the coal broker. I wonder if it's even applicable here in West Virginia. But there's billions of dollars available for homeowners to put solar panels on their homes. And I'm going to look into it. I don't know if it's something I can access, but it would be nice. The problem is, in most instances, most folks' solar panels are still grid-tied, so that means when Appalachian Power fucks up, you're still out of power, but you're not paying confiscatory rates to sit around in the dark. Ultimately, I think it's going to become a truism of what happened on Maui that this should have come as no surprise to anyone. Terrence Revere is a trial lawyer who also has some of the legal action going on. He is lead counsel on a class action suit. He said a lot of it's been out there for years, but when you have photographs and videos showing it happening in real time, it's not going to take Sherlock Holmes to figure out what happened here. And the horror stories are already coming out, and they are heartbreaking. And by the way, oh, the suffering just never ends. Hawaiian Electric's poor, poor shareholders are taking it in the shorts. Hawaiian Electric's share price high was $33.04, and as of the end of trading yesterday, it had dove like a paralyzed falcon to $14.79, more than half its value lost. And there we are, buried lead in the suit papers filed today. Now, since 2017, even as risks of fire continued to mount on Maui, Hawaiian Electric nonetheless paid out tens of millions of dollars in increased payments to shareholders every year. And some of them may even be dead now. It's tough when the company you're invested in kills your ass. So we'll keep up with that as it moves through the discovery process. if they have to go to trial, they may be fucked. Wonder what kind of golden parachutes the executive staff has. It looks like state government in Hawaii, by the way, will, well, they're at least saying they want it. Nine members of the Hawaiian Senate say they want the Attorney General of Hawaii to appoint an independent third-party investigator to do a thorough investigation. Our hope, according to Hawaii State Senator Jarrett Keohokukole, come on, Robin, do better. Keohokukole said, our hope is that the investigation will reveal the causes of this disaster and point to actions that need to be taken to prevent future tragedies. Yeah, Hawaiian Electric there, Senator. The Attorney General of Hawaii is Ann Lopez. And she said her office will do the comprehensive review. But those state senators say, mm-mm, this needs to be entirely independent of any sort of political power structure. And as of today, via Governor Josh Green there, at least 101 people are dead. And the fires on Maui are the deadliest anywhere in the United States in 100 years. Northern California's 2018 campfire killed 85 people. Read a think piece earlier today, you know, I think it was last week I brought up the issue of the gutting of my beloved alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University, how they're knocking off 9% of their majors at the state's largest land-grant university. They've completely scrubbed their entire foreign language department. They're axing 7% of the full-time faculty, a total of 169 professors. Well, The Nation magazine pointed out that the targets of the erasures include are departments that have Truman, Marshall, Fulbright, and Rhodes Scholars among their alumni. Interesting little fact about my alma mater. West Virginia University has generated more Rhodes Scholars than any other public university in the United States. Used to be kind of a feather in our cap, but I guess we've got too many. And E. Gordon Gee, who's retiring next year, wants to leave West Virginia University a shell of itself. But the article at The Nation was more focused, well, it was not just on what was specifically happening to WVU, but the fact that it's a roadmap for other public universities. The primary problem for WVU right now is their $45 million budget shortfall. And so while they are going to cut 169 professors and completely erase a whole bunch of degree programs and entire departments, somehow or another the administrative staff, like E. Gordon Gee, well, they're not going to share in the austerity. And this isn't something that just happened. The Nation writes, this shift to massive administrative salary costs and relatedly software and tech expenditures came about as federal funding of higher education massively slowed, wait for it, particularly after George W. Bush's cuts in 2007-2008. Just a gentle reminder that all of our problems didn't begin with Nitwit Nero. "50 years of cuts to higher education have accounted for losses of between 30 to 50% of funding for some land-grant schools, facing state austerity and a culture war on public goods, especially public education. State funding for higher education continues to decline, forcing public universities to rely more on private donors who impart new controls on higher education professionals." Gee, it's almost like capitalism doing what capitalism does. The Nation article points to the fascist takeover of New College of Florida and the war on woke. Book bans, censorship, purges of entire areas of study. Things like "don't say gay," primarily in the Confederacy. The irony being that these universities have done as much or more to lift those otherwise backward states up into modern, arguably developed polities. Well, the most important part is that, you know, if you're a MAGA or a right-winger, Republican, the most important part is that one attacks, generally speaking, the egg-headed intellectuals who are thinking all those brain thoughts. When everybody knows that salt of the earth folks got good common sense, not a bunch of book learning, right? Now, there's reference of the rise of AI. The Nation pointing out that as WVU announces these devastating cuts, Johns Hopkins University, a private R1 university in Baltimore, is making 80 tenure-track hires in AI. Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, last week said they're going to build a $45 million cybersecurity center, even though their enrollment is falling too. It's an interesting and frightening prospect going forward. And it helps to contribute to a more dumbed down populace, which always inures to the benefit of the anti-intellect party, proof positive in, oh look, there she is, the woman who's so damn dumb she got conned into thinking she was having a chit-chat with the president of Poland over an imaginary island nation called Bonomo, when it was actually the Moscow 98.6 FM vulgar boatman, zoo crew. Talking, of course, about Nimrata Haley. She's currently in fifth place, which means she's, let's see, she's behind Trump, she's behind, hey, Chris Christie's in second place now. Ha! monkey up has fallen that far. So Trump, Christie, monkey up. I don't know who's fourth. Maybe Kim Scott. And then Nimrata. Well, she's trying to pivot to the right and appeal to the people who actually show up for Republican primaries. So that, you know what that means. She's found her a talking point. You know, for the last couple of weeks, she's been wishcrafting the demise of Joe Biden, saying, "We cannot turn America over to Kamala Harris." Well, now she's saying dipshit things that make her sound like marginal trailer queen. Things like, "The Chinese Communist Party is building missiles and we're arguing over gender pronouns. China's laughing at us." Well, honey, we're not arguing over gender pronouns. Y'all are having a conniption over gender pronouns. And, of course, the most odious trans woman in America, Kate Jenner, was there to say, "Amen, sister." Some people pushed back. Diplomatic correspondent for the New York Times, Edward Wong, said, "I was just in Beijing. I can tell you I didn't have a single conversation with anyone about the use of pronouns in the U.S. or about any American culture war issues." But, you know, it works with the people who walk on their mouths and breathe through their knuckles and pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. So, here we were today with Nimrata throwing a shit hemorrhage about the Inflation Reduction Act, which I just mentioned a few minutes ago, and actually provide an opportunity for perhaps millions of Americans to put solar power on their rooftops. One of the most forward-thinking projects since maybe the Rural Electrification Act of the FDR administration in the 1930s. And so there was Nimrata. "The so-called Inflation Reduction Act is a communist manifesto filled with tax hikes and green subsidies that benefit China and make America more dependent on Beijing. While Joe Biden cozies up to Xi Jinping, American families are footing the bill for all this spending." The problem for Republicans, though, is that the Inflation Reduction Act is actually doing what it was, what its title says. A year ago, last July, inflation nationwide was at 9%. It is presently at 3, which is one percentage point above what the egg-headed economists consider to be no inflation at all. So, in essence, Nimrata Haley has gone full marginal trailer queen. Because Marge, in an interview with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, said, "The more times they indict Trump, the more people realize that the Biden administration is a communist regime." No, really.
That's right, Rob. It's outrageous. And I actually think Willis and Democrats nationally, you know, from the federal level at the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Bonnie Willis, Alvin Bragg, I think they're all guilty of the exact RICO racketeering and conspiracy charges that they are actually charging President Trump with, because this is a conspiracy to stop President Trump from winning the 2024 election and to silence his speech and ultimately actually destroy free speech altogether. It's straight up communism, and people everywhere are completely outraged.
It is something.
Oh, God, she's so dumb. And a bit of a well, I guess it's kind of gossipy, but reports out that Marge, I wonder if maybe I wonder if there's any work being done on finding out who the Sporkfoot was that went around trying to place pipe bombs on the night of January 5th in Washington, D.C. Marge is saying maybe she won't run for her House seat again. But that doesn't mean she's going to go away and just spend the rest of her days as an idle gym bunny. Well, Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, who is term limited out. Well, Brian Kemp says that he's thinking about running for Georgia Senate in 2026. Presumably against John Ossoff. Well, Marge said, come 2026, if that's the case, that she would run in the primary against Brian Kemp. Oh, well, that sounds delightful. Doesn't it? Can you imagine that? Wow. Now, we're almost done with the first hour of the program, and I just went right after dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Senator Marjorie Taylor Greene with 6-year terms. Of course, what she really wants is to be Nitwit Nero's running mate. Yesterday, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had a story in which she was quoted as saying, I haven't made up my mind whether I will do that or not. I have a lot of things to think about. Am I going to be part of President Trump's cabinet if he wins? Is it possible that I'll be VP? Well, she has been doing everything in her power to get her head so far up Nitwit Nero's fundament that every time he yawns, you can see her smiling face in the back of his throat. And the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts, he says that she's a... Well, she's a hot property.
This is no shrinking violet. She's ambitious. She's not shy about that. Nor should she be. She herself sees herself on the short list for Trump's VP.
Jack Smith. Could you maybe nose around a little bit into all those people who were asking for pardons after January 6th and see if a certain Sporkfoot might match up with the video footage of the person who was planting pipe bombs in D.C.? Jack, could you, buddy? But the lineup of the mean girls who want to be Nitwit Nero's running mate is substantial. Out of New York, Elise Stupidnik wants it more than anything she's ever wanted. And, oh, well, it would, running as Nitwit Nero's vice presidential choice would be a dream come true for Carrie Lake, and it would save her the humiliation of being thumped in a Senate race again. You may not have noticed, but she doesn't take losing Senate, losing political races very well at all. And so it was back in February at a Clavern get together that Nitwit Nero said,
"A lot of people right now are auditioning."
Imagine that, auditioning for vice president. And Trump, meanwhile, wants Marge to run against Brian Kemp.
He's disloyal.
He was on the stage in March when, in Waco, of course, when he said,
"Would you like to run for the Senate? I'll fight like hell for you."
He fights like hell for no one, as about 18 other people are figuring out in Georgia, and Walt Nautah and Carlos de Oliveira are figuring out in Florida, and six unindicted co-conspirators are figuring out in D.C., and 30 unindicted co-conspirators are figuring out in Georgia. You know, I've really come to rely on that iPad. That's where we do the Skype group, and it's also where I keep up with the messages during the program. I hope I can sort it out after the program. Maybe it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Maybe it has demons. And by the way, speaking of the unindicted co-conspirators, Ralph says, I'm offering a $30 challenge for the 30 unindicted co-conspirators. So that would get us down to 1453? No, 1423. If someone would like, or a group of someone's would like to join in on Ralph's challenge and make that happen. Well, now, this is interesting. Ralph's provided an article from Just Security. Ryan Goodman, Sivan Watt, Norman Eisen, Allison Rice, Francois Berriot, Beth Markman and Michael Nevitt suggesting the identities of the 30 mysterious co-conspirators. In the chart below, we assembled ample clues throughout the charging document to match the anonymous co-conspirators to possible identities. In many cases, the attribution is clear because the indictment references communications sent or received by a particular individual, which can be compared to communications in the publicly available record, including the final report and documents produced by the House Select Committee in litigation. So, let's go through this. And by the way, we are at the end of the first hour of the program. The filler obster continues. Individual 1, Tom Fitton, Act 1, page 20. 10/31/2020 discussion Individual 1 had with Trump, a record of which is included in the House Select Committee's document production. Individual 2 is a false elector. Acts 79 through 82 in the indictment indicate that Individual 2 is one of Georgia's 16 false electors. We list each false elector who was not indicted or otherwise identified in this chart. Mark Amick, Ken Carroll, Brad Carver, John Downey, Vicki Townsend Concilio, Carolyn Hall Fisher, Gloria K. Godwin, David G. Hanna, Mark W. Hennessy, Joseph Brannan James, Daryl Moody, and C.B. Yada. Individual 3, Boris Epstein. Individual 4, Robert Sinners, S-I-N-N-E-R-S. Well, of course. Individual 5, Bernie Kerik. Individual 6, Phil Waldron. You know who I'm looking for. Individual 7, G. Michael Brown or others on the email chain. James Fitzpatrick, Sean Flynn, Thomas Lane, Valerie McConaughey. Individual 8, Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. Identified by Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the indictment cites a tweet by Jones. Individuals 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 are all false electors. Individual 20, probably Michael Flynn or Patrick Byrne or else Emily Newman. This was a participant in the December 18th, 2020 Oval Office meeting. Individual 21, Todd Sanders or Conan Hayes. Individual 22, Todd Sanders or Conan Hayes. Individual 23, participant in phone call with Harrison Floyd and others on January 3rd, 2021 at 8:11 p.m. Individual 24, Alex Cruz. Individual 25, Doug Logan. Individual 26, probably Michael Popasalski or Jovan Pulitzer. Individual 27, same. 28, Jim Penrose. 29, Jeffrey Lindberg. And 30, Stephanie Lambert. And nowhere in there is doggone it and dagnabbit, Senator Lady G. Damn it. Oh, you're funny, Steve. Steve in New York says, Carrie Lake, she can't run for Senate or the VP. She's the duly elected governor of Arizona. It'd be fun if people would start saying, hey, governor. And, Darlene, electricity should be provided by nonprofit entities. Surplus goes back into infrastructure upgrades and six-month reserves. Anything left over is distributed to consumers, customers as a refund. Board members or volunteer members of the public who rotate in and out with two-year term limits. What happened in Lahaina was traumatic, devastating, and avoidable. And we know predatory corporations and billionaires are going to sweep in, buy up the real estate, and develop closed communities for the uber-rich. It's all so utterly gross. And, yeah, that's already happening, Darlene. Residents of Lahaina are trying to get to reporters to tell them that people are already making offers on their property. Darlene notes, Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine will rise again in one of the most beautiful states of the nation. Disaster capitalism, yeah. Oh, and coal versus renewables, Suman, with a chart. Sort of relevant to the topic at hand, renewable energy overtook coal for the first time last year. If some maggot says coal keeps the lights on, can we wave this in their face or will they get confused by all the colors? All the colors, the lines, the fact that it's not smudged with coal dust. Yeah, coal fell dramatically as wind, hydro, and solar, as well as geothermal and biomass, rose. I'm skeptical of biomass, because you're still burning shit. Unfortunately, at the same time that renewables were rising, nuclear stayed pretty much flat. But there, once again, is the real demise of coal. natural gas. The Energy Information Administration developed a chart going from 2010 to 2022. In 2010, coal energy production was around 1,800 megawatts, 1,800 million megawatts hours. It's down well below 1,000 now. Renewables rose from probably 475 million megawatt hours in 2010 to probably 750 or so. Thanks, Suman. I mean, that's helpful. Ricky Lake is the governor of Arizona? Carrie Lake, Emilio. Doggone it. Darn it. Oh, and thank you. Thank you to Kim in New York City, who also sent along the Just Security list of unindicted co-conspirators in Georgia, noting Norm Eisen and Ryan Goodman contributed, so they're probably good guesses. These are going to be some hellacious trials. And, of course, again, Nitwit Nero wants it in federal court so no one will see the dirty deeds that he did, and he can just come out and lie about it some more. Lou asking a question, how many executive bonuses did Hawaiian Electric pay out? That'll eventually come out, and asks, with bankruptcy, who might pick up part of the tab? It all depends on how the bankruptcy court views or even if they permit bankruptcy. Note from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. Do the poorly educated realize that they're not only stupid, but they're admitting it to the world, too? I mean, when Trump says he loves the poorly educated and these people love him for it, they're admitting they're stupid, dumb shits. And I put 20 solar panels on my roof with battery backup, and it works. I love it. Cost me a bunch up front, though, but I'm looking forward to the tax credit next year when I file my 23 taxes. That 30% tax credit was the reason I went ahead and did it. And meanwhile, I'm hardly using any electricity from the grid. I'm small potatoes, but I figure every little bit is going to help in cutting our CO2 emissions here, here. That's kind of why I've let the half acre of this property that I used to mow turn into a little mini carbon sink. And there's the answer that Lou posed himself a moment ago. Hawaiian Electric Industry CEO is Scott W. Seu, appointed in January 2022, has a tenure of 1.58 years. His total yearly compensation is $3.81 million, comprised of 23% salary and 77% bonuses, including company stock and options. He directly owns 0.029% of the company's shares worth $1.04 million. Well. Jeremy, in regard to the fire, says, it's been reported that most of the pumps didn't have power, and that's what made the fire worse than it was. They said it was spreading a mile a minute at its peak. Good God. Steve pointing out, can't see the article because paywall, but the headline says it all. The password is bankruptcy. Hawaiian, from the Wall Street Journal. Hawaiian Electric is in talks with restructuring firms. The utility is facing mounting litigation, alleging it was negligent before and during the Maui wildfires. There's that disaster capitalism. So again, there's a $30 challenge on the table. We're trying to stay under the level of being unfunded for an entire week of programming as we move. You know, we're officially in the second half of August now. God, we'll be freezing our asses off before... Sorry, sorry. Darlene, I didn't mean to trigger you. But the autumn is beautiful. Oh, the colors, Darlene, the colors. Huh! Anyway, let's run over to the stress line and see who's there. Someone is, has been patiently waiting. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello there, Robin.
Hey, Todd, what's happening?
How you doing?
You know, I'm okay. I'm okay. Middle of the week. So, yeah.
Okay.
Managed to pay some power bills, so they won't come and turn the program off.
Yeah, there's some challenges on the table, people. You know, people give when they can, but the best time is when there's challenges. you know, I don't appreciate you joking about Marjorie Taylor Greene being vice president. That's too much.
I know, bitch, please, right?
But she's just as bad as she appears to be.
Yes. Well, which do you find more odious, giving that woman the power of the filibuster or the vice presidency?
Neither. First of all, she'd have to figure out how to spell it and figure out what it means, because she has no idea what
Hold
that
on.
Means. What does she know?
You got your cowbell.
I appreciate that. It's just, you know, it's just one hit after another. I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt for like maybe 2 weeks. And then it became apparent to me that Marjorie Taylor Greene was very similar to some middle school students I'd had in the past.
Mean Girls?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When she started yelling, I was like, oh, well, she never got out of that. Okay, that's what she is. And she can't, you know, she's stuck. She's stuck, and I'm not going to beat up on her, but I mean, that's weird. When you think about it, think of how anybody who has kids or works with young ladies, especially middle school, especially kind of on the rough side. So that could be rural, that could be inner city, quote unquote. I hate using that term, but you know what I mean. And when you see them on the subway, that's exactly, like after school, that's exactly, it's like you see them so nice in class. You know, you don't look at them because you don't, you know, privacy and all that. The things they say, I mean, when I saw her in the halls of the Capitol yelling at people, and that was years ago, you know, that was a while ago when she first started.
That's before she actually became a member of Congress. That's how she became a member
right.
of Congress.
Oh, God. Oh, you're just making it worse. We're in bizarro world. It's like the projection is this is like Counterpart. I think that's the name of the show. It was a series where like during the Cold War everything was twisted.
Yeah, I remember Counterpart, and there was an alternate universe.
I don't even know how to start with these people. You listen to Washington Journal now, and everything's fake, and it's just beating up on Trump. And they're gonna find out. Well, a couple of things, but I don't understand about Mark Meadows and his being registered to vote in two states for quite some time, most likely. At the same time that the Republicans are trying to dismantle or not engage with the ERIC system, which cross-checks across states. Now, I have a theory, because, you know, especially the folks in the Senate and the House and, you know, business people who are Republicans, they, you know, a lot of people have two residences, you know, a place in Florida, a place in New York, or whatever, a place in LA and a place in it's up in the mountains, in Bear Mountain, whatever. And they often will register to vote. They talk about it, hear them talk about it. When I travel, I hear them talk about it. They'll vote in the local, they'll vote. And they want to keep that door open for themselves, you see. This is why you don't hear nothing about Mark Meadows too much anymore, do you? You ever hear anybody talk about that?
No.
It's a fact. It's a fact. I don't. But he's in so much trouble now. Maybe it doesn't matter. But you know, frankly, what's going on now is frightening. The more we find out, Fannie Willis just. You know, I think there's Fannie and Jack
Bonnie.
Smith are complimenting.
Hold on,
not Fannie.
Yeah, because that's actually a Swahili word.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah, she kind of looks like a deer, like a fawn, a deer. That's that funny. Okay. Yeah, because you know the criminality seems to run deep. I mean, this is definitely a conspiracy. You know, this is just it's crazy. But excuse me, the fake paperwork. Can you imagine these people? It's one thing to get together and say we're going to verbally conspire. They drafted fake paperwork.
Yeah. I mean, that's you're going a long way when you do that.
You know, you're begging for fraud at that point. So I don't feel sorry for these people. I'm sorry that folks are caught up with this. On that side, we have a real problem. I don't understand how upwards of 70 million people can still support what's going on. But I think the fever might be breaking a little bit. I think we're going to get back down to that, which is not good. That statistically significant, like about 33%, maybe. Because Kemp and Roethlisberger, you know, people, the suburbs, these women don't want their rights taken away. That's where they really messed up. With abortion, that's where they really messed up.
Yeah, the dog caught the car.
Yeah,
and of course that's something that I'd talked about for as long as I've been doing this, and actually before I started doing this, because I used to say that the one group of people who didn't want Roe overturned more than anyone else were the anti-abortion organizations. Because it yielded them on an annual basis millions upon millions upon millions of sweet tax exempt dollars, and that it would all go away if they ever got their fondest wish, and they would also lose their electoral advantage because the people who come out to vote in the name of the precious little fetuses would stay the hell home, because mission accomplished. Turns out I was right. Right?
I think you were right. I mean, seriously, you probably have done the same thing. When we query our friends, our associates and neighbors who vote that way, you know, if you have trust with them, they'll say it was about the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back in 2016, I remember story after story saying, you know, the Supreme Court's a serious issue, but it's about the Supreme Court argument isn't resonating with Democratic voters.
Unfortunately, that issue with that.
It's true. Right. It's probably true, because back in 2016, the most important thing in the world were the ideological purity wars of 2015-2016. You know, when Hillary was the devil. you know, and the ride or die Bernie brats.
You know what's funny about Hillary Clinton? Well, like her or don't like her, she is a smart, an accomplished woman, and she was dead on when she described.
She got everything right.
She used the D word. She was so right about using the D word. And you know what word I'm talking about, the D word. Look what it got us. The sacking of our capital and the Confederate flag in our precious capital.
Yeah. Preach.
Because of the D word.
Testify.
I mean, it's just true. I mean, it's just, see, I'm going to have to do this again. It's just real short. You know, there's an old adage where, you know, people say, well, you know, the truth hurts, which is backed up by social science. Most people don't want to be uncomfortable. It's normal. However, you know, when you grow up, you understand life is not nice and easy all the time. And sometimes because you believe strongly in something does not mean it's true. Just like everything your parents told you, that's part of growing up. You got a whole bunch of people who, my daddy did this good enough for me. Well, your daddy was a fucking dumbass, and he was a criminal. So shut the fuck up. You know, just because you think stealing cars is good enough, you know, stop it. Move the fuck on. And these people, they're not developed. They refuse to move on. It's like, okay, well, this what you call news makes you feel good because it comports with your value system and your morality. But maybe your shit is fucked up. How about that?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, because maybe. It just is. I mean, at some point, you got to come to terms with the fact that, yeah, you're fucking wrong. That's all. Get, you know, your butt hurt. It's too bad. You made a poor decision. And just like some of the messages you got earlier about, you know, there's so many things. He told, you know who I'm talking about, the orange man told, the mentally ill fascist, the MILF, told the snake story in excess of three times. One time is too much. You know, three times. I'm telling you, I'm a con man and I'm stealing from you. He told you to your face. He told you, I love you, undereducated. He told you, and you clapped. You people clapped.
Y'all clapped, y'all.
So don't feel hurt now. It's too fucking late. You know, you dragged us down. See, this is the thing about that election. This is why, and they say, well, Maxine Waters, she talked about it before he was in election. Anybody who knew anything about this individual knew it was totally inappropriate. You cannot have a mentally unstable / ill person as president of the United States. It's not going to work. And of course, what happened? It didn't fucking work.
I mean, ta-da.
You know, so ta-da. You know, so stop all this hand-wringing and shit. Let's get on with it. And that, look, he's dead to rights. That hubris behavior has got him. He is fucking done. And I'm going to tell you, this is what I wanted to ask. One thing I wanted to ask you, because I'm getting a little too excited now. Now, I understand that Fawny Williams wants to have an early court date. And there is 19 or 18.
She has now officially suggested March the 4th.
March the 4th. Well, this is my question. You know, strategically, would it be possible to make public on the docket Donald Trump's going to be tried first? Because that would make those people flip. They know they will be able to be trampling down over each other to come talk to her. You know, I don't see why you have to do all those people the same. That's ridiculous. There's too many lawyers in the room.
Oh, but you do, no, you do that. You do that at the outset, Todd, because you want everybody in the pressure cooker, you want all the frogs in the pot at the same time crawling all over each other.
Hmm.
Because it sets up. It sets up a kind of a battle royal. No, I'm just talking about having 19 defendants in the Georgia case, but. You know, the New York, the New, but the thing is, the New York payoff case, you know, the Stormy Daniels payoff case is scheduled for March the 25th of 2024. Fonnie Willis wants March the 4th. Jack Smith says he's going to be ready to rock in March, and it'll only take him four to 6 weeks for the prosecution to put on its case in chief.
He's got his wood.
Yeah, that's 4 to 6 weeks. And God alone knows how many days. That's nothing, but former Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek, I don't think ever in the history of the United States we've never indicted a former president before, so that means never in the history of the United States of America has a former president's vice president also been a presidential candidate, the former president a presidential candidate, and the former vice president testifying against the former president. And the beauty of it all is, because these are federal criminal trials, and, you know, the one in Georgia State, Nitwit Nero has to sit there every second of every minute of every day of every week and listen to the litany of evidence put out of what a pathetic, venal, crooked, dirty, venomous amphibian short-fingered little vulgarian he is. I don't think he's going to be able to keep his shit together. If he does keep his shit together, it'll be because every morning they'll go, Mr. President?
What?
And divert his attention long enough to shoot him in the neck with a Thorazine dart.
Yeah.
He's going to... He may very well be chemically restrained to the point that he'll need the wheelchair and the plaid blanket and be drooling oatmeal down his chin, or Big Mac sauce, probably.
You know, I don't disagree. I think he'll either have a stroke, maybe, or he'll be so medicated. He'll be like in a half stupor. But I don't know if they can't put you in court like that. You can't be under the influence. I don't know. I was like, how does that work?
Well, the court has no control over what his medication status is coming in. But of course, if he's just sitting there, you know, with his head lolling and his tongue hanging out of his mouth. But see, that's the other thing. He can't risk something like that because it makes him look weak in front of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, picking-their-teeth-with-their-toenail-clippings followers. The fascist mighty leader must always be mighty and strong and powerful. I don't know how... just with Jack Smith's case, let alone the Georgia case, I don't know how he gets to the end of the prosecution without winding up in the Hannibal Lecter mask with a ball gag.
He's going to freak out. And wait a minute. Right. Well, he hasn't seen the discovery yet. Wait till he sees these names and what they said about him. He may not make it.
He knows. He knows some of what's going on. I mean, he already knows that Mike Pence is rolling on him. And Chris Christie is coming at him like a steamroller. And even the fat shaming that he tried didn't work because Chris Christie responded, "Don, have you looked in a mirror lately, buddy?"
Yeah. Well...
I mean, it's not like Donald Trump has a portrait of Dorian Gray up in the attic. Or if he does, it looks really fantastic right now because he's...
Well, at the end of the day, he did it to himself.
Well, sure he did.
He did it. Nobody made him act badly. Because he's been a malefactor forever. I mean, since he was a teenager. And that's just the truth. So, you know, he's just a spoiled kid
who was never reprimanded and just coddled on top of some other stuff probably going on. But now look, you know, he's definitely been convicted, and not accusations. Well, we have those also, but accusations and convicted of you know, assault. And that doesn't even count the ones he admitted to. That's insane.
Oh, wait,
how is he still walking around?
Wait, I just got a couple of notes from Matt in San Francisco. You'll appreciate these. Hi, Matt. Subject line, calendar software. When you need computer software to keep track of your criminal trials, perhaps you're a criminal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Here's your sign.
Oh, my God.
And then just all the subject line says is, Robin, if you keep painting mental pictures of Trump with a ball gag, you're going to get sued by the ball gag industry for a severe drop in sales.
No.
Okay, Matt. I would like to revise my remarks and change it to a very fuzzy tennis ball with some orange Hunter orange duct tape. They'll never even notice the duct tape. I'd hate to be responsible for something like that, Matt. I mean, what would Jerry Falwell Jr. do if the market fell out for ball gags? Becky.
Oh, you went there.
Never miss an opportunity for a good Jerry Falwell watching Becky get railed joke. Becky.
You know what? They're dead a long time. He may not make it. Now that you're talking, I'm thinking about the timeline. March. He may not make it.
If this shit starts in January or February, can you imagine having to sit there every day for months on end, watching your public reputation, your carefully crafted machismo, be absolutely dynamited every day?
Holy shit. Oh,
we have some behavioral health specialists in the community. What would that do to the sense of self of, say, a malignant narcissist or a sociopath?
He's going to freak out. And he's going to break down crying like a baby. But I like the way you painted that picture, though. That's important. Because, you know, some trials are very, they can be, especially these trials. They're going to be long and laborious. It's going to be really tedious at that point. But he's going to have to sit there. If you're a defendant, you got to be there.
And you can't run your mouth.
You can't say shit. You just got to sit there. It's torture. You can't say a thing. That's why you hired an attorney. And look, if you're not careful, that shit will turn you to an alcoholic. Because when you get out of there, I mean, look, that.
Well, imagine the scenario, Todd. What would that do to an Adderall head?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
A speed freak.
You know he's going to be jacked up.
You know, the sweat pouring and whatever hair he still has on his head, jumping from pore to pore to pore, follicle to follicle to follicle. Oh, he's, as Tracy would say if she were here, he'll be scratching like a crack hoe.
Oh, boy. You got that right.
Not too long back, Annette and I watched a comedian. She's hilarious. She's from East Tennessee, Lori something. And she said, "Do y'all remember Dexatrim?" Because she's got this East Tennessee darling accent. "Do y'all remember Dexatrim?" That shit was speed.
Oh, boy.
That shit was speed. Yeah, and the whole family was on it. We was just out in the yard scratching and fighting most of the time.
Damn. Oh,
God.
Take another one.
So, well, I mean... I'm at a place where I sit around and just try to imagine what a trial of Donald Trump is going to be like, where he has to be in the courtroom. There is no way he can maintain his composure. He's going to make both Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men and Humphrey Bogart in the Caine Mutiny look like the Dolly fucking Llama. He cannot keep it together.
All the
shtick that he does, you know, when he's been in debates and, you know, pageants, where he does the thing with the imaginary squeeze box with his hands. Excuse me. The first time he tries that in Tanya Chutkan's court, she will put the... she'll order him into the... Into the Hannibal Lecter mask.
Yeah. He'll have to be restrained. That's what I'm thinking. Like you know, the Chicago 8 or something.
And he will come out of this. I personally think he's already quite mad. But he will come out of this. He'll come out of this crazier than a sprayed roach. He won't be able to tamp it down.
No. You painted a wonderful picture of because anybody, if you've never been in court, like had to be there, you have to be there. When they say 8 o'clock and you 8:05 and you're not there, they can, that's contempt.
Yeah, bailiff.
You got when the bailiff. Oh, we were just sending someone to pick you up. Oh, you're late, huh? That's $50, or we'll let you go this time, but don't be late again. They don't care about your personal schedule. The court, the law does not care. That can't, I know what I said before, but that, I mean, lawfully, honestly, the law does not care. That's his personal shit. He decided to run for president. That's his choice. That's a choice he made. So, the judges have nothing to do with that, except for, the Cubano Blanca from Florida, and she's one of those probably Batista family people. I just get that sense, and it's okay. That's, you know, if that's what she is, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, she went to the university.
Yeah, this
she
court?
Went to the University of Michigan. Huh? Hey, hold on. I need to issue a very much deserved thank you. Thank you so much to Gino. Gino, I cannot thank you enough. Gino took care of Ralph's challenge and finished off last Thursday, got us started on last Friday. Gino, thank you so, so much for the Have a Show on Me. And then, so this is excuse making 101, but because I'm used to seeing the emails on the iPad, which is dead, and yes, I have held down both the start button and the volume button, and absolutely nothing happens. I'm gonna have to just let the battery die and then hope that when I plug it back up, it'll, I don't know, do a hard reset or something. So I missed this email, but a kind internet anonymous friend noted, going back to the TR7 conversation at the beginning of the program, I got rear-ended by a TR7 once. Instead of doing in my rear bumper, it took out my muffler system. The shape of things to come. But our kind internet anonymous friend said, if you can roust up $300 from the Horn community in a Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar one-for-one doubling challenge, I've got to have a show on me for you. So we actually have a fighting chance to get Friday funded and Monday funded, leaving just yesterday and today.
That sounds like a...
So, 10 at 30, no. 30 at 10, et cetera. So thank you, Gino, and thank you to our anonymous friend. We've got a... And, oh, boy, I won't just pay part of the power bill. I'll pay the whole damn thing. And that'll be super double plus fantastic and might even be able to, and I know this is just crazy talk, buy some health insurance this month. Wow. Yeah, I know. I know. So thank you. And thank you to Ralphs for the 30 unindicted co-conspirator challenge. Thank you all so much.
Now's the time to chip in, people. Now's the time. Sorry.
It really is. And so, you know, to get back to, well, yes, Ralphs, that's exactly what it is. Ralphs just sent me, the Hannibal Lecter Wikipedia entry. Yeah, that mask does not have a ball gag on it. I'm suggesting, because that mask had to allow Dr. Lecter to speak. I'm suggesting there. There needs to be a ball gag involved as well.
What? Well, you know, it would look good. However, it would do the job. However, that's a little bit. The Hannibal Lecter mask could be better because the little bars would allow us to hear his little pill voice. Because you know what? You remember the movie, the original Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, the Judy Garland, Ray Bolger, Burt Lahr.
Right. And I'm thinking of the Wicked Witch melting. That's what I'm seeing with Trump.
Oh,
that's
my beautiful evil.
And then there will go his profit center and all his contributions. I mean, Washington Journal, I mean, my God, you talk about, there were some totally deluded people this morning.
I got up early yesterday and I, because I wanted to check in, and I heard Hurricane West Virginia calling in.
Why wouldn't they let Trump's people watch them Democrat vote counters here in Georgia? That's what I want to know. Ain't anybody else seen it like I seen it?
And that's when Annette put her finger to her index finger to her
that.
Lips. And, shh, West Virginia.
No, I'm so. But oh, he was trying to sound so like I'm very serious. I want to know who else saw it because I saw them move them boats. I heard that. I'm sorry, I got excited. But that you know, this is what I don't understand.
Well, who drew the short straw and the swirly straw today? Yesterday it was Johnny Mack.
Oh God! Oh, there was a long one today, and Greta was working. First half or the last half? I watched it this afternoon. I watched it after it taped. But so this person went on. I mean, they were down the rabbit hole. I mean, so far. And he said, "Well, none of these charges are true." When I say projection, this caller claimed that these charges were election interference because it was in the way of Trump being elected. This is convoluted thinking that we're dealing with.
See the things you start here, Matt in San Francisco, Wizard of Oz. Well, Giuliani does kind of look like one of those sleazy flying monkeys.
He does! Oh, he does! Oh, he's got the chin sticking out. Oh, he's got the gargoyle grin. That fucker's evil. Something's wrong with him.
I forget, maybe it was Howard Stern he gave an interview to and said, yeah, well, you know, I haven't changed. I'm the same guy that busted the and I love this. I probably know the RICO statute better than anybody else in the country. Rudy, you poor drunk bastard. It's the Georgia RICO statute that's a lot broader than the federal RICO statute, and I'll bet you don't know it.
Well,
but now I'm being persecuted
for just doing my job as a lawyer. And believe you me, if Donald Trump, dear as he is to my heart, if he had done anything illegal or committed any crime, I would have said, Donald, that's a crime. You can't do that.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, frankly, they're cut. And I heard someone on one of these talk shows. I mean, we had already talked about it, but it's just anybody in the area in that time. I think I brought it up last time we talked. He has a little streak of racism in him, a lot, actually. Because, you know, when they did the broken windows stuff with Bill Bratton, that destroyed New York City. That's why one of the reasons why those rents are so high. Because you get rid of everybody, people who make, you know, paying the rent in a rent control area, and you have to start fresh. The developers come in, all of a sudden that apartment that you were living in, the people have been in there, you were paying like $300 a month since 1963. Now it's $2,300 a month. And, you know, you can't even go to Hoboken. Where you going to go? But yeah, so he's got those issues. He's got that baggage with him. I don't know what happened. He's just, I never bought that American mayor thing because I remember what he was doing. He destroyed a lot of families. And he thought it was funny. See, he thought it was funny. That's the thing. He thought it was funny.
You'll probably get a kick out of this. Over on The View, Elisa Farah Griffin, who used to work for Donald Trump in the White House, is trying to put some distance between herself and the fact that she worked for a Soak, you know, son of a Klansman. And, So that the stink won't rub off on her, but she's at The View, but they had her on CNN to talk with Jake Tapper.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yesterday he came out with the riggers tripe.
Mm-mm. Wait a minute, he who? Pronoun.
Trump. This Monday, he's gonna have double secret probation, extra super convincing evidence that the case is all just a witch hunt, and all we wanted to do was go after the people who rigged the Georgia election. And then the last word in his message is all caps, and he's complaining about Fani Willis, and he said, "We wanted to go after the riggers, RIGGERS, all caps." And of course, it didn't take me any time at all to look at that and go, "Oh, I know what consonant he really wants to use." So I got there real early on. So now Elisa Farah Griffin is trying to put a little distance between her and the guy that she once agreed to work for.
And in court, that he has a First Amendment right, that he is running for office, that what he says should not be limited. But they also recognize the reality that these are prosecutors and judges that are either overseeing the case or handling the investigation in and of itself, and that this is not helpful to them, that this is problematic. But Trump is someone who can't necessarily, you know, be told what to do. I mean, his post yesterday about holding the major, or 2 days ago, about holding the major press conference at Bedminster on Monday, talking about how he's finally going to prove election fraud 3 years later, is something that he did almost entirely on his own. It wasn't something that was this coordinated campaign strategy. And so, I mean, he has access to these Truth Social's accounts. He's the one who posts these posts. And so the question is, does the judge weigh in here in any of these cases? And do they get involved? And does it hurt him potentially, as Judge Chutkan in Washington has warned that it would? Whether or not that happens remains to be seen.
Alyssa, what do you make of the racial accusation Keith Boykin was making there, that the use of the word rigor is not unintentional? Mr. President, Mr. Trump, President Trump has certainly been accused of racist language before.
Right. With Trump, you don't need to look for a dog whistle. It's a bullhorn when it comes to race. And I do think that's deliberate. We've seen the, I mean, slanderous attacks that he's put out against Fani Willis, you know, alleged things I won't even repeat. So he's not really hiding that he's going to lean into that element. And this is, in, you know, taking place just outside of Atlanta. When you saw the courtroom, it was a lot of black men and women who were serving in that courtroom. The fact that he's introducing race into this prosecution surprises me. It's disgusting. It's textbook Donald Trump, but it comes as no surprise.
Yeah.
Wait. She said it comes as no surprise, but then she said it surprises her.
You were being generous about the way you presented her. Oh, she put up the Berlin Wall between her and Trump. She put the stiff arm up as if. Oh man, she don't want nothing to do with him. Well, she told the truth now. Finally, I mean, but you know, where were you then? You had to hear all the stuff out of his mouth.
Exactly.
He's always been racist. I mean, what else is new? I mean, is there nothing, unless you were black and had a bunch of money or could run around or sing, he ain't one of the two. You know, it's just that simple. I mean, come on. Like you say, it comes from a Klan family. I mean,
and see, the, you know, we were talking about his mental health. And so here's further evidence that he's coming unglued.
Friend, this just arrived a minute ago. Friend, over the past 24 hours, I've watched as some disloyal Republicans, or rhinos as I call them, have defended the corrupt Atlanta prosecutor's witch hunt against me. One went so far as to cheer on the left-wing prosecutor and see our persecution as an opportunity to destroy our historic America First movement. Other rhinos have chosen to remain silent, but at a time when our country is on the verge of falling to tyranny, and be silent is to be complicit. As I said before, during a crisis, you learn who your true allies are. It's easy to be loyal and brave when everything is sunshine and roses, but when the storm hits, you quickly find out who retreats and who truly has your back. Jesus Christ, he's turning into Judge Smales from Caddyshack.
It's easy to grin when your ship has come in, and you know you've got the stock market beat. But the man who's worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Do you want a fresca?
And if these rhinos would stab me in the back, you can be sure they'd sell voters like you out in a snap of the finger.
He's really special. He can, I mean, that's like, what is the sound of one hand clapping, right? The snap of a finger? I mean, I guess. I've got trigger finger. And sometimes it snaps a little bit when it locks in place.
But fortunately for us, our movement is packed, believe me, with over 74 million patriots who refuse to surrender our nation to tranny. Please just
wait a minute. Are we giving our nation over to tranny? Is that what that?
Yeah, tranny. Yeah.
Oh, tranny. He don't know. I don't know what. He's not going to make it. I don't know.
Even a contribution of just $1 alongside your fellow peaceful patriots is enough to outraise these rhinos and end the month strong.
Yeah, if I can get every one of the 74 million rubes that are in my subscription list to send me a dollar, that's $74 million, y'all. Jesus God.
Well, the caller, one of the callers this morning, and Greta let him speak for quite a while because it was just so astounding. He said he loves America. He brought back jobs. He loves the veterans. He's always taking care of the military. He loves the police. He's trying to bring everyone
unless
together.
Unless they're the Capitol Police or the Metro D.C. Police. I don't love those police so much. Because they were part of the witch
hunt. Because they're so good. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, I've got somebody else doing the dumb Donald Trump impression.
You know, stop it. I don't even know where to start. I don't know, man. The more that you talk about this. All right, so this is mid-August. Moving into late August. September. I don't know. How can he make it another 2 months?
By the way, where's precious Princess Iwanka, my daddy, Trump Kushner? She's been awfully quiet. Dottie, no.
Oh.
My dear, dear Todd, says Steve in New York, it's very easy to understand. Many don't want to think this, but the explanation is simple. It's a cult. Some of these don't apply, but I included everything so as to be transparent. Cult, noun, a relatively small group of people having beliefs or practices, especially relative to, especially relating to religion that are regarded by others as strange or sinister or as imposing excessive control over members. Two, a person or thing that is popular or fashionable among a particular group or section of society. A system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. Yeah, all of those are pretty much...
Well...
And Todd, Jeremy wants to know, and thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started on the anonymous challenge. We got $290 to go on that on the have a show on me Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar challenge. That's good. Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar. Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. But Jeremy says, you know, he called the folks who served in our military suckers and losers. And he didn't get it that they did it for nothing. Or then again, there's...
Yep.
I like soldiers that don't get captured.
Oh, wait. With an answer to where's Iwanka? Matt in San Francisco has the obvious answer. She's at home counting her $3 billion Saudi dollars. And Matt's not wrong. I don't know if you saw this, Todd, but... Holy smoke. Apparently, the sources are out for the $3.1 billion cash haul that Jared made. And yeah.
Oh.
Them's is some Saudi dollars. Sweet, sweet Saudi dollars.
So there's more information about the lineage of the money that he got, or, I mean...
I don't know. I don't know if any of Jamal Khashoggi's blood's on any of those $100 bills, but, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I don't... The meme on the other side, on the right side, is that, you know, they're businessmen, so at least they were doing some business, because then they bring up Biden and the money they get. But, it's disgusting. I guess the volume is done. That's all right. Jamie Raskin's going to take care of it, and he is bouncing back from his cancer, which is a good thing. I guess he's bouncing back. He seems like it. You're doing a great job every day. I know sometimes maybe you don't feel like doing what you do, maybe, but, you know, you're doing it, and it's commendable.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's not like this is, you know, toting that barge and lifting that bail, but I'm really proud of what's happened since. Proud of 20 years worth of it, almost 20 years worth of this, but it seems like since August 1st, with the dropping of the D.C. indictment, and it's not just me, it's the whole community coming together with really solid analysis and conversation, it's amazing.
No. I know I lost sight at one point, but this is some serious American history that we're actually living through. You know, this has never happened before. And and I heard you talk about well, first of all, I don't know what happened to Gas. I guess we watched all the Gas, but I heard you mention something about Liddy was in The Plumbers. Oh my God, that is, I only watched one episode.
Oh, you got to watch the whole thing.
The Plumbers. I'm going to. It's just so rich. Woody Harrelson is, I mean, E. Howard Hunt. I have a background, you know, I was checking him out some years ago. He's got his character down. Oh, E. Howard Hunt was an evil, weird, nasty motherfucker, but Liddy was even worse.
Oh, there's a scene in the final episode where he starts jailhouse lawyering for the other inmates and Liddy becomes beloved of them. I'm not going to give it away, but let's just say it's reminiscent of that scene with Dr. Strangelove toward the end of the, well, it's actually the last line in the movie. I'll just say
no.
That. And the thing is, it's like the previous Watergate miniseries. No names have been changed in this because no one was innocent and almost everybody went to jail. And as I was watching, the White House Plumbers, I was thinking, if all these cases come to trial, Watergate is just going to recede into history as a botched burglary. This is the real stuff, Todd.
This is. I cannot wait for the movie. Can you imagine what I've been thinking about? Like, oh, I hope I'm alive.
And see, all of these unindicted co-conspirators, whether it be D.C. or Georgia, they can be called up. They can be called as witnesses. They can be turned. And I go back to what I said a little bit ago. When he watches all of these people that he trusted and expected to remain loyal to him through thick and thin, and realizes that they're not willing to go and do federal time for him or state time in Georgia, and as Scary Jerry pointed out in yesterday's program, you don't want to go to prison in Georgia.
Nope.
Or Alabama, nope. Or, you know, you don't want parchment.
Or Florida.
You don't want, where is parchment? Is that?
Mississippi.
That's Mississippi. Angola in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Alabama, they just let people die on the floor. There's a case I think underway in Alabama even now, and I'm not trying to draw any distinctions, but down in Alabama, they let a white dude freeze to death in prison.
See, that's all you need to know. See, that's why you said it. Look. They don't get in trouble. Stay off the road at night if you're a Negro. I'm telling you, you do not want to get involved in, no.
Yeah, even here, you know, our entire state police force is under investigation because it's almost entirely and wholly corrupt with, like, cameras in women's restrooms. And this is the best of the best of the best, sir, when it comes to law enforcement in West Virginia. And I'm driving around with a paper copy of a temporary receipt driver's license, and I'm like, I'm at the mailbox every day going, please, can it arrive? Because it's worrisome.
Yes, it is.
But it's got all my new names on it and a good photo, and I really want the real hard copy in so I can go ahead and start working on things like birth certificates and passports.
I thought you had that taken care of some time ago.
No. I couldn't take care of the birth certificate or the passport until I got my name changed through.
And that only happened on August the 3rd, because I was finally able to do it.
This August the 3rd?
Uh-huh.
Holy cow.
And so...
Guys, it's been a long process.
And then so, let's see, tomorrow will be a week since I went and got my new license, and they said 10 to 14 days, so 10 days is Saturday, and I'm beginning to, you know, just drum my little fingers.
You don't get to, you know what? Congratulations. That's a big step. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, that's a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Starting to use my new first name. Mm-hmm. I kept Robin, so I'm going to stay Robin here, but starting to use my new first name with friends and family, and I like it a lot.
Oh.
I like it a lot.
Okay. Man, I mean, that's nice. Well, maybe someone else wants to get in.
I'm just so glad you called. I mean, we always have a great conversation.
Always. And I mean, it's just, we're all glad you're doing what you do. And, I feel like when I talk with you, I get smarter. And I think, that's a good thing, that if anyone feels or gets smarter when they engage with other folks who are smarter. And I think that's a good thing.
I think it's a process. I mean, it's the long form of the conversation. It's the possibility, the opportunity, the availability of being able to go back and forth until we find the truth at the bottom of it all. And just as you go along, as you watch the news, just every now and then, try to imagine, with all of these allegations, try to imagine him having to sit quietly in a courtroom and keep his shit together.
That's a cowbell. Can you give yourself a cowbell?
I would be happy to, thank you.
And I'm going to explain why after you.
Okay.
That, and I didn't miss it the first time or second time you said it. I was just, running my mouth so much. I have so many. When you talk to me, it's like you're fertilizer for my mind and all these ideas start running through. But, that, knowing he's ADD, knowing he is definitely going to be jacked up or not, I don't know definitely, but we know that's his proclivity is to be, he's got an Adderall.
He'll be double or triple dependent.
Right, that's what I'm getting to. Because he's used to being able to gesture.
Your Honor, we need a brief recess. I need to change the baby. I mean, my client.
Because he just shit his pants. He cannot. That's the thing. He will be.
We've got him on a. We've already got. Your Honor, we've already got him on a diet of nothing but rice and bananas and cheese. But yeah, sometimes you just can't. Help it.
And we've already seen the diaper when he was standing up the other day. A fresh picture. I could see it. I mean, I'm not. If things happen, I might end up like that one day. Who knows? But to be so cocky.
Your Honor, my client hasn't had roughage since the Nixon administration.
I'm not going to say that. Oh, my God. But he will be unable. See, remember, this is why you said what you said, I think. Because he's used to being able to lash out or be in control of a situation, standing up, he gestures. He has to, when you're in court, you don't say, you're not even supposed to hardly look at the judge. You're just supposed to sit there. Just sit there and absorb. Maybe look at the witness who's testifying. He is not going to be able, maybe he'll put cotton in his ears and give him earplugs. I'm not kidding. They're going to have to do that because if he processes that information coming in, he will not be able to sit still. He's going to be in contempt, and he's going to have to be in Excel, like when you get arraigned and you're in a closed circuit, like a computer monitor, during arraignment. Hey, that's probably what's going to happen. He'll just have to be there in Excel. And it'll be a split screen. He'll be in the courthouse somewhere because.
There's a constitutional provision that says he has an absolute right to confront his accusers.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean what he thinks it means. You know, if he was to confront his accusers, he'd send out some mean tripes. And because he can never be confronted with his own fucked upness. And
no.
And his constitutional right to confront his accusers, as far as he's concerned, it would mean his ability to jump. Well, he can't jump from anything to sort of galumph up from his seat and yell, "You rhino loser, you motherfucker." And I'm sorry, the judges aren't going to put up with that.
Mr. Trump, please take your seat.
No, it won't.
One more effort.
The defendant will take his seat. The defendant will be seated. And another outburst like that, and we will have subsequent proceedings.
We're talking about Trump won't make it till January, March. I'm not gonna make it. I got to see this. Come on, this is killing me.
Prog Dog wrote in a few nights ago to let us know about something that Glenn Kirshner had said, a draft of an email to, I guess Merrick Garland, was it, saying that insofar as count four of the D.C. indictment says that he conspired to deprive Americans of their right to vote, you know, violation of the Klan Act. At least some people are beginning to say that now. I need it to be said a lot more. But in light of the fact that he tried to deprive people of their right to vote, every American citizen is in fact one of his victims. And we have an absolute right as victims of crime to be present at the trial.
And the only way
we can be present at the trial is via video.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
I would like to see some of the high.
Damn, that's making a cake.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the high-powered litigators for people like CNN and NBC and ABC and CBS. You know, Fox probably wouldn't sign off on it because he'd call them more ugly things. But I'd like to see them go in and argue the victim status of the people of the United States of America as reason for letting cameras into those federal proceedings. The judicial conference is the decision-making
Glenn
body.
Glenn made a good case. Well, Glenn made an excellent. I know it's the law, you're not supposed to. Fine. You know, federal court. We've never had this before.
No. You'll appreciate what Cynthia in the Bay Area just said. Can you imagine, Cynthia writes, Trump trying to ride a bike? I saw a video of Biden riding a bicycle.
God.
I saw a video of Biden riding a bicycle the other day, but can you imagine Trump trying to do it? Hell, I bet it would disappear up his fat ass. I'm bad.
Jesus.
Smiley face, Cynthia. Oh, you're good, Cynthia. You're so good.
You remember that? Remember a show called Laughter?
Oh, of course.
They used to have a little guy on a bike with a yellow raincoat on.
Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson, he gets maybe three pumps on the pedal, and he just tip over. But, wow. You know what? If we can't, if we cannot see this case, that's why we have to see Georgia. I mean, people need to see this. There's a lot of reasons that people need to see this, because a lot of reasons, disinformation. I mean, this is the most important case. This is the most important thing. This is to our country.
Yeah, maybe directly. Yeah, maybe I'm violating Godwin's law. I don't really care at this point. You know, when you call someone a Nazi and they actually are a Nazi, I don't see how Godwin's law is involved. But there was a particular reason why the German people were, why the Nuremberg prosecution wanted the German people to know exactly what was going on. Because they did not want anybody running around saying, Afjör was verordnet. They wanted to lay out all the evidence for all the war crimes. So that there could be no doubt.
And they made those
there
people,
could be no doubt of the right. evil and the wickedness and the criminality of the Nazi regime.
That film that you're talking about, that video is very powerful, where the conquering American forces compel the local residents of the surrounding concentration camps and death camps, say, how could you not know? Look, your house, you can see your house, you live there. See that smokestack? You mean to tell me you couldn't smell burning flesh? Imagine if you burn one piece of hair, it's pretty stinky.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's what we have to do, because earlier on I started, this is mean, but these people are so far gone, I'm thinking Boxcar Willie type stuff, you know, where you have to go to an education camp.
Well, this will be, that's... The trial will be an education, and the most important people, the people most necessary for seeing this trial are his supporters.
Yep.
And God,
they can't deny it.
God forbid that some of what we've been talking about comes true. You know, he stands up and then, you know, clutches his chest and you know, the big fat ass elephant falls over in the tar pit.
Oh boy. Then he's a martyr.
Sure.
Because he's already. I mean, these people are living vicariously.
I'm sitting around thinking things that are just out there, like, if you're a member of his Secret Service detail and he gets sent to prison, does that mean you have to hang around in the cell with him from then on?
Good grief. You're going to be his cellmate? How does that work? Holy cow. This was like a mean trick by some force to have this entity's presence in our politics and our everything now. Because remember, he not only did he mess up this country, he messed up the world. He messed up the world.
There are a million dead Americans alone that are whose deaths are a direct and proximate result of his willful, wanton, grossly negligent conduct in regard to COVID. A million Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, justice is working, I hope. We'll see.
And by the way, I had a note from Clarence. Say hi to your fellow Philadelphian.
Clarence, I was thinking about you, my brother, man. I hope you're doing all right.
Subject line, Southern prison work. You know, I've passed chain gangs cleaning interstate highways. These guys were dressed in black and white striped garb. Doing time in the South is no joke. Cool Hand Luke is still a reality. I can pit the eggs.
Clarence is not kidding.
No. Into the box.
Into the box? I mean, seriously. Especially Georgia, Florida.
Alabama.
Some parts of here. Some of these, Alabama, they like that. That's their chain. It's no joke.
Okay, well, I'm going to time travel real quick. I want you to remember something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Abu Ghraib? Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib, where they made the prisoners do things that were against their religion, all kinds of weird poses.
Naked human pyramid, holding the vicious dog on the Iraqi inmate. Yeah. Do you remember that it involved a woman?
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, she thought she was cool. She was like, yeah, she had this
cool. You know, she was one of the screws at Abu Ghraib. Want to know where she came from? Do you remember?
Don't tell me West Virginia. No, Philly.
No,
I don't.
She was a prison guard in West Virginia.
Holy shit.
I mean, that's the thing I don't know. I don't know how powerful, how profound the sense of delusion is in someone whose behavioral health is where Donald Trump is. But in one of those dark and still of the night moments, one of those dark nights of the soul, if he contemplates going to prison, your social sciences, Todd. Can a person so thoroughly wall themselves off from their reality that they cannot even admit of the possibility that they might be doing hard time in a Georgia prison?
Absolutely.
So it's just not even something possible for him. He's not thinking about what might happen to him in some shithole in Georgia.
No, that's not in his. That's not. He doesn't see that. He doesn't have the capacity.
So some Deus ex machina, some magical thinking, is going to save him. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying at some point he's going to crack and he's going to freak out. Like, what are you doing to me? Don't you understand? I'm Donald Trump. I'm the president. I'm Donald Trump. You can't touch me. What are you doing? That's what's going to happen. Because until that point, it's not going to sink in. It's not going to sink in. I mean, if it were sinking in, he would not be making these tweets, you know, just communicating these messages, because deep down, of course, he knows, but there's a partition up in his mind. I mean, deep down, he knows that you're not allowed to do that. He knows that. He's had plenty of interaction with the criminal justice system because, you know, it's lawsuits.
Well, where Georgia's concerned, Scary Jerry just chimed in and says, hey, Todd, howdy, Robin. Hey, Jerry.
What's up? We're family. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. This is going to be exciting.
Georgia prisons are the only thing that Florida man is scared of. We tell each other stories about Georgia.
Well, the meme on MSNBC right now, which from some of my friends, what they say is true. It's like the Southern Rikers, you know, Fulton County Detention Center.
There's rats and lice called, and shit, you know, in that place where he's going to be booked. He ain't going to get booked in no nice little courtroom.
No. And see, this is just getting, this is getting to be a little bit much. And don't forget about Boris Epstein. You know, he's definitely, and this is the other thing. Now, I mean, I want to get your opinion on that. because it was seen to me, Jack Smith not really done. He just wants to get this first case, you know, on the docket. He's got it on the docket. He's not done yet.
No.
And it seems like Fawny Willis is just helping him out. She's just uncovering those rocks, and maybe they're working in tandem. And I don't know if they're collaborating or not, but once you uncover evidence, that's public knowledge. They can use that. All they have to do is request it, and they have it. You know, New York will have it from, or DC will have it from Georgia. You know, to a friend letter. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this stuff is, I don't see where how he gets out of this, except he's going to stroke out, and that's unfortunate. I mean, he's not strong enough. I don't see him making it. It's going to be unfortunate.
By the way, the woman I was trying to remember her name, the Abu Ghraib defendant, Lindy England. Answering the psychological question I asked, Jude said, Trump, there is no consciousness. He appears to reside in base chakra or Maslow's hierarchy of full enlightened evolution. Yeah, he's nothing. He's nothing but id, to get kind of Freudian
right
there. Yeah.
Right. He's at the top of his pyramid. Well, Maslow, like, so look what he said. Well, what do I have to, like, he's talking about religion. It's like, what do I have to apologize for? I'm not perfect. You know, I haven't done anything wrong. And it's like, oh, well, you just definitely don't understand Christianity. Like, how could you possibly say that?
Two Corinthians walk into a bar. Two Corinthians.
But the maggots are like, he's a Christian. I love him. He's a Christian. He loves, you know, it's I don't know what's going on. What? Boxcar Willie. We got to get the boxcars out. It's just, I don't know what to say. I come back to what I said.
The maggots have to see this. I mean, for some of the worst of them, it should be like that scene from Clockwork Orange where their little eyelids are just kind of propped open.
That's not funny. That looks so uncomfortable. So this is what I was wondering. Maybe you know, there must be some type of website or something where everyday Americans can sign a petition to demand. I mean, these are our tax dollars, and these were our votes being affected. And frankly, was to me in my mind was very well conveyed by Glenn. That's a tight argument because it seems like elements of the law.
Yeah. So basically, you write it up. You write it up, and you send it as an email to the Department of Justice.
Well, simple as that.
By the way, Jude sent us another note. The friendship that you and Todd share, notably on the air, always houses this friendship. And yes, there's so many others, yet I relax in the energy of what it is you both engage in. As you well know by now, I reside in the energy fields. The kindness and dialogue feels and lifts this soul of mine. That's lovely. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much.
Jude, wow, I'm so glad, you know, I feel better. Thank you, Jude. It's not about me, but it's nice to, you know, Jude always has something to offer. And maybe there's enough time. I don't want to dominate the program, so maybe you can talk with someone else.
Okay. Well, Todd, I'll be looking out. I thank you so much.
I thank you, and I'm happy for you, and I hope your paperwork, you know, your license comes tomorrow.
It would be great. I'd love that. Thanks, Todd.
Yeah. Okay. See you.
All right. Later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And by the way, the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar Challenge has $290 to go on it. And that would wipe out funding for Monday and Tuesday. Friday and Monday. And then we'd only have Tuesday and today to deal with. Thank you so much for the challenge. And thank you again to Gino for finishing off Thursday and getting us started on Friday. Thank you. Not being a week behind is kind of a big deal. Note coming in from Barbara. Hey, Barbara. Barbara says the Trump family, I've never seen a family picture of the former asshole in chief where they were enjoying themselves at a beach, at an amusement park, hiking, etc. Biden and Christie, on the other hand, have been photographed doing activities with their families. Christie's lard ass and Biden both have been seen at the shore. That alone should have you thinking that something is wrong with the former asshole in chief. Well, Barbara, he is so damaged. He is so hyper-fixated on his need to appear
classy
that everything has to be staged, everything has to be stiff, everything has to be formal, because his life, remember, you know, his dad was just a developer, and, you know, no slur on Queens, but there's a difference in what, crossing the East River over to Manhattan. And his dad was a developer from Queens, a slumlord, a racist, a Klansman, and lived in a reasonably nice home somewhere, what, around Jamaica, Queens? And it was good enough. But Nitwit Nero always had this aching need to be accepted among the people he knew were his betters. Nitwit Nero has always been just jumped up trash. And so what he craved was the approval of polite Manhattan society, and he achieved a certain amount of that, even though everyone knew that he was a clown. But he got to swan around and hobnob with the right people. And so that's the image he had to cultivate. He couldn't have his pendulous corpulent flesh flopping around at the beach. He can't be seen stuffing a hot dog from Nathan's at Coney Island into his festering gob, because it would, I guess, break the spell. Plus, the fact that he really doesn't like his family that much. There's that oft-repeated story of the time that he was going to take he was going to take Trader Tot Jr. to a ball game. Jr. was in college and got ready for the game by putting on all of his Mets gear, I don't know. And Nitwit Nero, according to Junior's roommate, appeared and slapped the living shit out of his firstborn beloved son and said, Don't
dress like an asshole. Go put a suit on. Look like somebody, you dipshit.
And if that story is true, and we have no reason to disbelieve it, then, well, Don Jr. is probably an absolute mess of unresolved trauma and paternal resentment. Tell me what you think of your mother and why you hate and want to kill your father. If this was video, you would have seen me in Freudian fashion writing on my little imaginary notebook that is the palm of my hand. But, Barbara, that's what's wrong. He's nothing but a wad of dysfunction. His father taught him to bully his older brother. It is his older brother, wasn't it? You know, Mary Trump's dad, who didn't want to be a real estate tycoon and was quite happy to be an airline pilot. And the story coming out of the childhood where it got so bad that, a bowl of mashed potatoes was dumped on Nitwit Nero's head when he was, somewhere between 9 and 11? Trump, Darlene says, is a narcissist. Nothing sinks in and there's no capacity for introspection. They're always the victim. He will be angry until he implodes emotionally. There will never be a come-to-Jesus moment for that orange asshole. You may be entirely right, but still, the question remains. Darlene, how does he keep his shit together for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of damning testimony about his behavior? Which, of course, also leads us back to the question of what lawyer in his right mind would let him testify on this day?
I want to testify. I'm going to show everybody.
No, sir, you're not going to testify. Because I'm not going to lose my law license for suborning perjury, sir. I don't know why all of his lawyers always wind up sounding like Smithers. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara just jumped in. We are now only $260 away from meeting the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar challenge, courtesy of our anonymous friend who was once rear-ended by a TR-7 that took out his exhaust system and not his rear bumper. Somewhere, I'm absolutely certain, Jessica is giggling. And a note coming from Cynthia. Jude is always so sweet and nice, always having a beautiful comment to make about this or that or someone. Meanwhile, I'm usually such a stinker. I used to be a nice person, kind of like Jude way back in the before time, but I don't know. I guess I've really become an old fart and a stinker here in my old age. It's Trump's fault. Well, to be sure, dim leader Sonny Boy Bush didn't help much, or Ronnie Reagan, or Nixon, or, oh well. Cynthia, you're not wrong. That's why I come back to that time after time after time. We make a horrible mistake if we think that all of our problems began with the rise of Geezer Disgustus. The ground was plowed, furrowed, and fertilized for everything we're dealing with today by George W. Bush, Pappy Bush, Ronnie Reagan. The vicious sense of vindictiveness on the part of the Republican Party has some of its roots in Watergate. And the Republican sense of outrage that anyone would dare to prosecute or think about or impeach a stone-cold crook like Richard Nixon. I think there's a line in the White House Plumbers where somebody refers to him as that dumbass Quaker. It might be the Liddy character. And then Iran-Contra. I mean, the entirety of Whitewater and the great cleanest hunt was rooted entirely in Iran-Contra and Watergate and a desire for some sort of tit-for-tat game of gotcha. Yeah, that's what Lady G was talking about when Lindsay said, y'all shouldn't prosecute him. The solution to this is at the ballot box. Now somebody get me a margarita and a margarita and a Rohypnol. I need a little mental vacation. And by the way, our kind, friendly, anonymous internet friend said, yeah, that TR7 gave my car a wedgie. Okay, that's quality. Kind of wondering what the TR7 looked like afterward. Can't have been good. And this, then, as we approach the home stretch, I suppose. NBC News is reporting that as a result of the fact that in Georgia, members of the grand jury's identities are not anonymous, well, the maggots have begun posting the names and the addresses of the grand jury that indicted him. It's being posted on a website described as fringe by NBC News that often features violent rhetoric. I mean, when you're talking about maggots, that narrows it down. Not really. A group, a nonpartisan research group, founded by a former FBI investigator by the name of Daniel J. Jones, called Advanced Democracy, discovered the doxing of the grand jurors. Interviewed by NBC News, he said, it's becoming all too commonplace to see everyday citizens performing necessary functions for our democracy being targeted with violent threats by Trump-supporting extremists. The lack of political leadership on the right to denounce these threats, which serve to inspire real-world political violence, is shameful. Users on that website, I'm guessing maybe The Donald or 4chan, Advanced Democracy said that users at this fascist website were posting not only the names of the grand jurors on other social media sites, but the images, their pictures as well. Also claiming that they are supporters of Bernie Sanders or Raphael Warnock or Barack Obama, or, of course, Black Lives Matter. Their names, the grand jurors' names, were disclosed when the indictment came out on Monday. And Advanced Democracy went on to say that the maggots are now using the term rigor as a stand-in for a rather obvious racial slur. No comment from the Fulton County Sheriff's Office. Free speech, y'all? Is that free speech, too? I'm pretty sure it's actually a prior restraint on speech called witness tampering or witness intimidation or obstruction of justice. It would be nice if the FBI could maybe do a little digging around and find out who those are that are doing the posting. And, well, you know, we had the story last week of the Pontifex Maximus Reverend Aloysius Thumbbutt, you know, the Nazi from West Virginia who's been intimidating the witnesses against the Tree of Life Synagogue massacre perpetrator. He's facing federal charges. Might be time for a subpoena to issue from maybe the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta. Because these people are pretty, these maggots, the worst of the lot, and they're all pretty awful, are pretty close to done to a tender turn. It wouldn't take much to get them to start shooting. And when you're posting names, photos, and addresses, and calling them political enemies, and using racial slurs, it's not that far from a rifle shot in the dark and still of the night, akin to, say, Medgar Evers. All we can really do is hope that law enforcement takes this seriously. But again, it's also Georgia, and I wonder how many loyal maggots there are in the Fulton County Sheriff's Department. Yeah, some prayer meeting Wednesday, huh? And, of course, wrapping things up, and if we could, and by the way, if we could meet that challenge, we got $260 to go on the Cheeto Christ Stupid Czar challenge. It would be wonderful to be caught up to all the way to Monday and just be working on this week. Thank you so much for the challenge. Thanks again, Gino. Thank you, Ralphs. Thanks to everyone who answers these challenges and helps keep this all on the air. Okay, let's leave the trials and tribulations of Tangerine Tiberius for the moment. Wrap the program up with a little news out of the court system. A different court system. You might recall that that wackadoodle federal judge in Texas, Matthew Kaczmarek in Amarillo, you might recall that he tried to put a stop to the sale of mifepristone all over the United States of America. Well, that case has now gone to the equally wacky, fascist, Federalist Society-dominated United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, who today, they didn't entirely uphold Kaczmarek. But the three-judge panel said that, yeah, the FDA overstepped its authority in making mifepristone easier to access. You know, the distribution by mail, letting it be used at up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, reducing the dosage, cutting any required in-person doctor visits from 3 to 1. It'll come as no surprise that the three-judge panel that made the decision were three POS right-wing misogynists. Circuit Judge William Ho said he would have taken it off the market altogether. Well, nothing's going to happen for the time being. It's all going to go up to our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, and that fascist hate group, the Alliance Defaming Freedom, will be right there to claim that the availability of mifepristone to women is a violation of their sincerely held religious beliefs. So, again, not much is going to change. But it's, well, it's like the sound of a train in the distance. Oh, and Jude responding to Cynthia's kind note. Dear Cynthia, my moments of personal frustration are released at times by shouting out, "Oh, fuck! What's nice?" For me, it's just being exactly where I am, seeking to discern what path to take. Trust me, I fall short, but just keep on walking. But gosh, thank you for thinking of me, Cynthia. God, I love our little community. So that's the program for this evening. My goodness gracious, sometimes the time simply flies. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, those of you who put forward the challenges. Thank you so, so much. I can never thank you enough. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. I don't know if anybody made it into the chat room this evening or if the room just went unmoderated. Looks like I was the moderator, and I wasn't very good at it. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast, please. And if you tell others, that means the community grows larger. We add more voices to the conversation. And we cut the lines of, we cut the sense of isolation. There are a lot of people who feel, especially in red states, who can feel very alone when and feel very much outnumbered. You're not. You are not by any stretch of the imagination. And this is a good place to hang out. Tell your friends, please, your like-minded friends. And this is a great way to just knock back 3 hours on the treadmill or whatever, at the gym, or on a nice little hike, or I always think of Matt in San Francisco and the looks he says he's gotten over the years when something, some little bit of lunacy will find its bubble its way to the top, and everybody starts looking at Matt like he's lost his mind because he's lost in a cacophony of laughter. But anyway, please like and subscribe and leave a comment so that, you know, the algorithm will see more. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. By the way, thanks for the kind words. Brother Deacon Asa reran an interview that I did with the gone but not forgotten Anthony Bourdain. And that actually happened 13 years ago today. Wow. Yeah, maybe I need to work on doing more interviews. I don't know. But thanks for the kind words on that. Darlene said, that was somebody entirely different doing that interview. Well, yes, it kind of was, wasn't it? Listen, y'all, get your booster if you're eligible. The Don-demic is not gone. The Trump-pandemic. Wear your mask if you're around maggots, because they're a viral lot and they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves and don't care much about themselves for that matter. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And, well, if a guy with Grecian formula running down the sides of his greasy head tries to buttonhole you and say, yeah, listen, I know the RICO Act probably better than anybody in the country, and I ain't no way I've ever violated no RICO Act. Well, avoid Rudy Giuliani like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.